Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
It has been 10 months since the massacre of 26 students and school employees at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut reignited again the national debate, not only about gun violence, but also the treatment or lack of it for the mentally ill in our society. Then just a few weeks ago, a mentally ill man shot and killed 12 people at the Navy Yard in Washington, raising more questions about our mental health system. North Carolina has been struggling for years to develop an effective mental health system, with stops and starts and rules that confuse providers and leave patients and their families bewildered. Here to talk about where we are with mental health treatment is Debbie Dehoff with NAMI North Carolina. Well, Debbie, thank you very much for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Let's talk about where we are in mental health treatment and care in North Carolina. You have a conference coming up. I know the theme, Creating Community Solutions Post Sandy Hook. A lot of people are still wondering about that, given what just happened at the Navy Yard in Washington. What do you say when people find out what you do for a living and how hard you work to help people, given what's happening?
You know, I feel like our nation is really kind of at a crossroads around how we treat and think about people living with mental illnesses. And I think it's a time when we need to grab this opportunity to really talk more and help educate the public about really what it means to be mentally ill. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make is to not have the regular response that we would have to somebody who has a heart attack in the emergency room as when someone has a mental health crisis. Our follow-up care is really pretty abysmal. So I think it's a time for us to really grasp onto what needs to be done for people with mental illness. And I think it affects the entire community. I think our court systems, our law enforcement, our school systems, every system needs to come together to make a difference. And the time is now. It's really an urgent thing.
It's interesting you use the analogy to a heart attack, because I know for a long time, mental health advocates like yourself and others have been trying to break through a lot of, I don't know what the word, stereotypes or myths, and convince people that this is a disease or an illness just like all the other ones that we're so familiar with. And it did feel like for a while we were making progress. Have we made progress?
I think the fact that people are engaged in conversations about mental illness means that we are making progress. Do we have all the answers? Absolutely not. Have we fixed the mental health system, either in North Carolina or the nation? Absolutely not. Do we need more research into identifying when people might be more apt to be dangerous and violent? Absolutely yes. We need additional money put into the mental health system.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in North Carolina specifically. Where we've gone through various incarnations of reform. Now we're talking about changing our Medicaid system to a privatized system. Without getting into all the weeds, where do you think we are in North Carolina in terms of taking care of people with a mental illness?
Well, I think in many ways, we're in somewhat of a dangerous place, because there continues to be chaos and change that's almost defines the system. Yet at the same time, I will say that I'm somewhat hopeful. I actually had a meeting with the secretary less than a week ago, and while it was not stated per se, I have a sense that we're going to hang on to some of the benefits of the reorganizations that have happened, like hanging on to the managed care organizations. I mean, I don't think there'll be 10 of them, so I think we're in for more change, but I think we'll at least hang on to some of the work that's been done. And I think we'll still hang on to having the benefits of a public system.
Why is it so difficult to come up with a system and stay with it?
Chris, I don't know. I think that some of it is certainly politics and the change in new people being elected. I think, you know, today we're hearing around the country a lot of blaming for shutting down the government. And I think we're hearing blame in North Carolina for budgetary problems related to Medicaid. And I think rather than working cooperatively towards fixing the problem, unfortunately, there's been that emphasis on blame.
For a long time, the genesis, I guess, of the reform efforts now, gosh, 14 years ago, was the Olmstead decision to try to get folks in the least restrictive place possible, give them adequate community services. But it seemed like we never adequately funded the services where people were, which then, I guess, contributed to some of the problems that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think medical care, health care is really a big business. And I think trying to figure out just the payment strategies has diverted our effort and our creativity away from clinical care and away from really the basics that people need: a place to live. They need housing supports. They need supports doing productive work. And somehow all that's been lost in per member per month and all kinds of funding possibilities, different IT systems that do and don't work and are tossed for the next iteration. And I think the business stuff has really taken precedence over good clinical excellence. I think the fact that this year we were pleased that we got $4.6 million for funding the possibility of people continuing to choose to live in a group home, and yet the problems with getting that money out, and is it the right amount? Will it help everybody? What about getting the date wrong? Unfortunately, the General Assembly put a cutoff date, which means that people after January 1st maybe can't make that choice of living in a group home if that's where they choose to live. So it's just an example of one little thing that we couldn't get quite right here in North Carolina.
I haven't done it lately, but I used to every so often, and I need to again, go back and look at the reports that are filed, and it's always startling to see that there would be a significant percentage of people who leave psychiatric hospitals without a plan for their community, who aren't visited even 30, 45, 60 days after they leave the hospital. How important is that comprehensive care?
Well, that's exactly the first question you asked me was, that's how I answered it, that it's of paramount importance. If people get hospital inpatient care, like someone who's had a heart attack or surgery, heart surgery in the hospital, what matters most for them is their aftercare at that point. So that's extremely important, that we provide helpful, empathetic aftercare that's structured, that they have some sense of who they're working with and a sense of that's a person for them. And again, there's too much change. There's too many people. Sadly, I think there are still people who are discharged from hospitals to homeless shelters, which is unconscionable in North Carolina. We've made great strides in that, but it should never happen.
Are there any other things that policymakers could do if you were czar tomorrow other than keep things stable?
Yeah, I think keeping things stable is hugely important. I do think some attention to principles of recovery, to really helping people who live with mental illnesses get jobs. We have a great peer support specialist kind of approach in North Carolina where trained peers help other people through their journey. You were talking about how hard it is coming out of people are fragile when they come out of a psych hospital. If they could be connected to another person living with a mental illness who's come out of the hospital in their own life journey and help them with that, help them make choices regarding where to live. Similarly, people could be helped by forensic peer specialists who could help them avoid criminalization, which is another major social tragedy, in my opinion, that so many people with mental illness land in jails and prisons. Those would be two changes I would make right away.
Let's end on something hopeful. We talked briefly about the conference. It seems that more people are aware of mental illness. The stigma that we probably would have been talking about 15 or 20 years ago has changed. So there's progress out there.
There is progress out there. And, you know, we're just really excited about our upcoming conference because we're going to continue to have these difficult community conversations about violence, mental illness, and what communities as a whole, churches, people, schools can do to make a difference. We're having Nelba Marquez Green, who lost her daughter in the Sandy Hook tragedy, and who 2 days later helped start the Sandy Hook Promise, which is all about changing the community for the better. So she'll be delivering, I know, what will be a very inspirational keynote at lunchtime. And Dr. Swanson from Duke, who's a leading researcher in the nation, turns out he's doing like 20 keynotes around the world, actually, around violence and mental illness, and really trying to figure out the risks, the rhetoric, the misunderstandings to drive public policy where it needs to be regarding that. Oh, gosh, we have Dr. John Diamond from ECU coming, who's a child psychiatrist who's very well known, who's going to be talking about adolescents who end up in trouble and what we can do about that. We're talking about bullying and suicide, very difficult topics, but we can only progress if we have the courage to talk about those topics and talk about many of the evidence-based practices that we know of that can make a difference, like positive behavioral interventions in the schools and dealing with bullying in the schools to prevent any future tragedies like Sandy Hook.
Best of luck with the conference, and thank you for all you're doing and have been doing for a long time, and we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having NAMI NC.
Up next, what's at stake in the school bond issue in Wake County? Stay with us.